Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I am your host, Sarah, and today is Sunday, September 10th, and we will be looking at the text assigned for this week. This Sunday is the 14th Sunday after Pentecost. And before we get started looking at those texts, I just want to say that if you are in the path of Irma, my prayers are with you and your families and all those who are worried about you. I cannot believe the weather lately. It has been crazy. I mean, It's been a bad summer, hasn't it? And especially August and now September, between the fires and the storms and everything else, it has just been crazy. And it's not just us. It's not just the U.S. We've had, there's been the earthquake in Mexico. It's flooding in numerous other places around the world. It's been a bad, bad summer. And so my prayers are with everyone who has been affected by weather, by natural disaster, by everything that's going on right now. I am super, super grateful for the people in the world, both professionals and volunteers who put their life on the line to help other people, to try to make things a little better in these crazy areas of the world where people need so much help. Thank you to everyone who has volunteered their, not only their time, but volunteered resources, money, anything that they have to all of these areas that are being affected and the people who have been affected, who are now either waiting for the storm to hit or in the aftermath and trying to put their lives back together. So I just, my prayers have been with the families, with the people recovering, with all of the professionals who have been involved in the rescue efforts, with all the volunteers who have been involved in the rescue efforts. Just so many people to pray for, both in petition and in thanksgiving. So my prayers are with everyone this week as we continue to encounter this crazy summer of 2017 in terms of weather and natural disasters. So let's go ahead and get started reading the texts for this week. The first text is our Old Testament text, and that comes to us this week from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, verses 7 through 11. And those verses are as follows. So you, mortal, I have made a sentinel for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked ones, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn away from the, to turn from their ways, the wicked shall die in their iniquity, but their blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from their ways, and they do not turn from their ways, the wicked shall die in their iniquity, but you will have saved your life. Now you, mortal, say to the house of Israel, thus you have said, our transgressions and our sins weigh upon us, and we waste away because of them. How can we live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from their ways and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? This is an interesting section of verses. There's a lot of words that we don't necessarily feel comfortable with in our daily lives. A lot of people aren't comfortable with words like sin and transgressions. There's a lot of use of the word wicked, which we can sometimes have issue with. And it's just interesting that it is, you know, it's speaking to mortal. It is speaking to really anyone who's reading it. And I've made you a sentinel for the house of Israel, and you need to go out and tell people not only about God, but to turn away from their wicked ways, to turn toward God. And then there's this warning that if the wicked don't repent and you haven't told them, then that lack of repentance is on you because you haven't done what I've asked you. You haven't gone out and shared your faith. You haven't gone out and shared the warnings. You haven't gone out and shared the experiences that you've had with and of God. But if you do that, if you go out and do the things that God has asked you to do, that God has called you to do, then you've done what you can. You cannot, you know, only God can change someone's heart. You've done what you can. It's then up to that person to hear you or not hear you. So this is a really interesting text from the book of Ezekiel. Our alternate first reading is from the book of Exodus, and we are continuing to move through this history of the Israelites. And today that reading comes from Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses, in which they eat. They shall eat the lamb the same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roast it over the fire, with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all of the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance." So again, that was Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 14, and we could really just spend an entire podcast or multiple podcasts on this text and what it means. And it's because this is hugely important, right, in but not only the lives of the Israelites, but then also in our lives as Christians, as we think about the Passover, as we think about what it means. This is the culmination of Moses trying to convince Pharaoh to let the Israelites go. God called Moses a couple weeks ago in that burning bush. God sent Moses to Egypt to try to convince Pharaoh to let these people go. And Pharaoh keeps saying yes, he'll let them go, and then changing his mind and not letting them go. And so there have been 9 plagues up until this point. And now we have this 10th plague is coming where the firstborn is going to be killed. But the Israelites are told to take this lamb to paint their doorposts with the blood of the lamb, and their firstborn will be spared. But they also know that they now have to flee. They're given this whole set of instructions as to how they're going to go about this, how many lambs, you know, per household, one per household, unless your household is too small, then you're to share with your closest neighbor, you're to cook it in this way. The eating part is where I find it really interesting. You know, you're to eat it with your sandals on, with your staff in your hand. You are to be ready to go. There is very specific instructions in there, in this text, and this is just one more step in this whole history of God's relationship with the Israelites, how God continues to be in relationship with them, how God continues to guide them and try and work through their lives and all of these things. So we're really getting this amazing progression through the history of Israel in these alternate texts, and I love that we've been reading them throughout this season of Pentecost, because you know, we had the story of Joseph with his dreams and his brothers who sold him into slavery, and then he had more dreams, and that's how they ended up in Egypt, but then things took a turn for the worse. But now we're seeing that God is still with them. God is still working in every situation that they're in. They are slaves. God sends Moses. Moses has trouble convincing Pharaoh, and God continues to work to set the Israelites free. And now, but the Israelites have to play their part too. They're given very specific instructions on what they are to do. And, you know, if you were given these instructions now, you might think, this is just weird. I have no idea how this is going to work. And that's where the faith comes in. That's where their part of this relationship comes in, is that they have to listen to God, listen to God's prophets, listen to Moses and Aaron, and do the things that they have been told to do in order to be redeemed from this situation of slavery in which they have been living in for so many generations. So we do have to take our first break of the podcast. When we come back, we will turn to the New Testament texts for this week. Stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's gsmcpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We are looking at the text assigned for this week, the week of Sunday, September 10th, the 14th Sunday after Pentecost. And we've just read the first, the two texts from the Old Testament, the first reading and the alternate first reading. And I said before the break, when I came back, we would be looking at the New Testament texts, but I got a little ahead of myself because we have to look at the psalm first. And that psalm is from Psalm 119, verses 33 through 40. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will observe it to the end. Give me understanding, that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Turn my heart to your decrees, and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at vanities. Give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise, which is for those who fear you. Turn away the disgrace that I dread, for your ordinances are good. See, I have longed for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. And again, that was from Psalm 119, verses 33 through 40. The second reading for today comes from the book of Romans, and that is chapter 13, verses 8 through 14, and those verses are as follows. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to gratify its desires. Again, that's from the book of Romans, chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. And I love all of this talk about love. Not to put, you know, not to use the word love too many times in a sentence, but Paul certainly did. I really appreciate that, you know, owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The law here is boiled down to love, which really I think is what we see in all of Jesus's teachings, in all of Jesus's actions and parables and healings. Everything that Jesus does is rooted in love. And it's, you know, it's the same thing. Everything that God does is rooted in love. And then we really see that fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus comes not to overturn the law, not to get rid of the law, but to fulfill the law. And, you know, he asks, what is the greatest commandment? And you are to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and soul and mind. You're to love your neighbor as yourself. And that's when Jesus then tells the story, you know, well, who is my neighbor? So he tells the story of the Good Samaritan. And it all boils down to love, how we treat our neighbor, even if we don't like that neighbor, or even if we've been taught not to like that neighbor because they're different from us, because they don't belong to the correct community, because, you know, any number of reasons why we don't like them, why we've been taught not to like them. But we're told just to love one another. You don't have to agree with someone to love someone. You don't have to, you don't even have to like someone to show them love, right? You can find someone completely repulsive and still show them love and compassion. It's not easy. And we can come up with all kinds of reasons. You know, this is where the junior high kids would jump in with all of their what ifs. Well, what about this person? What if they did this horrible act? Do I still have to love them? What about if it was this person? Do I still have to love that person? Not to be too cliched, but what would Jesus do? What would Jesus say to that question? He would tell a parable that would really turn everything on its head and say, yes, you've been commanded to love one another. And on the one hand, this is beautiful and wonderful, and yes, I want to embrace it, but there's still that part of me that, you know, harkens back to junior high that does want to say, oh, but I don't want to love that person. I don't want to show compassion to that person. It's really easy to justify why we don't want to love another person, and yet it's right here, not only in Romans, but in all of the Gospels, in the other texts, in the other letters from Paul, in the Old Testament even. We see it. Love. The Bible really is a love story, all about God's love for us, all about how that love is fulfilled in Jesus, all about how we are to share that love with our neighbors. So, again, going back to the Beatles, all you need is love. And that's Romans 13. We'll look now at the assigned gospel reading for this week, which is from the Gospel of Matthew, of course, as we are in the year of Matthew. Matthew 18, verses 15 through 20. And Jesus says, if another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, if two or three of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. This first part, I would say you could kind of sum it up with, Jesus says don't triangulate. They didn't have that terminology back then. But if another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. That's such good advice, right? Go talk to the person. Don't talk to your friends about that person. Don't say, well, so-and-so did this to me and I'm really angry and I don't appreciate it. No, go and talk to that person. And then Jesus continues to give advice for if that situation escalates, if that person won't listen to you. And it kind of gets bigger and bigger and bigger from there, and culminating in whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And it gets bigger and bigger. So it starts out, if another member of the church sins against you, then what do you do? And if they still won't listen, then what do you do? And if they're still not listening, then what do you do? Because your words have power, Jesus is saying. And you need to be appropriate with those words and those actions. You need to do what you can. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. I think this is probably the verse that we focus on the most when it comes to this particular section of the Gospel of Matthew. We tend to just take that sentence out. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. And I get that because that's an awesome sentence, right? That reminds us that you don't have to be a huge gathering of people for the Spirit to be present, for Jesus, for God, for that all to be present. You just need a couple of people gathered together, praising God, praying to God, talking about God's word, discussing Jesus's parables, whatever it might be, doing your Bible study. And of course, the Spirit is going to be with you. Jesus is going to be gathered with you in that endeavor. And if it were just that sentence, well, that's great, but that sentence comes in a much larger context, right? It's in this other context that gets a little hairy as you read through it. We're going to talk more about this text when we come back, but we do have to take our second break of the podcast, so stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Before the break, we read through the gospel assigned for this week, the gospel from Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. And I was saying that if it were only the last verse, then, you know, that's a great verse. And if it were only that last verse, I would say I like today's gospel text. I would say I like it without hesitation. But in its entirety, this text sometimes can make me feel a little uncomfortable. Maybe it makes you a little uncomfortable too. I don't know. I'm not you. I can't project upon you. And my reaction to seeing this text is always, oh man, oh, what am I going to talk about? So of course, those texts always stick with me. They always just work around in my brain. What are you going to say about this? What is there to say about this? What is the context of this text? And they rattle around in there and trying to come up with how does this fit into day-to-day life. And it's not like I loathe this text or anything. There are definitely texts that I find so much more difficult and sometimes so much more annoying. But there is something about this one that always gives me a little bit of pause. You know, on the one hand, I'm encouraged by Jesus giving some really good advice about communication techniques and life in community. You know, don't triangulate. Maybe it's that while I appreciate the nature of the advice, I've also known too many people who are only too willing to find fault with others while taking no responsibility for their own part in those relationships. And I include myself into that category as well, because, you know, we all do this sometimes. And so we can hear Jesus' words and say, yeah, those are great advice. That's great advice. That person over there isn't doing it, right? Or maybe it reminds me a little too much of a group that I was involved with in college and who used this passage a little too freely in order to publicly shun or treat poorly those people with whom they disagreed. But the thing is that pretty much any text can be used in a way and in ways that are either unhelpful, unhealthy, or both. And I doubt Jesus had either of those ideas in mind, unhelpful or unhealthy, when he spoke these words. What this passage does speak to us about is community. And all of us are involved in a variety of communities throughout our lives, whether that community is social media. I mean, we're in the day and age of social media, and we have all sorts of online communities, or whether that community is an actual in-person group like church or a parenting group or the friends we've had forever or, you know, our Bible study group or our coffee clutch, whatever it is. Whatever it is, most of us do seem to have a deep desire and craving for community. And when it comes to community, most of us would say that we want it in some form or another. Many of us would acknowledge that true, authentic community is often rather difficult to come by. The thing about communities is that they're made up of people. And by people, I mean other than me, right? They're made up of people who aren't going to agree with me. I, by myself, do not constitute a community. But then when you start throwing in other people, no matter what the common thread that ties that group together, there are going to be disagreements. There's going to be breakdowns in communication, and there's going to be differences of opinion. Ideal community, we could imagine, would be someplace where everybody knows each other, where everyone loves each other, and where everyone has mature and insightful conversations, even about difficult or touchy subjects. Doesn't that sound ideal? But people, you know, not you or me, of course, most people can be difficult, challenging, selfish, and unreliable. So it's into this reality that Jesus speaks in today's gospel. And his basic points are these. People sin. Communities are made up of these sinning people. When that happens and you're involved, you should do something about it. Namely, you should go and talk to that person rather than talking about that person. If that doesn't work, involve some others from the community. Not to take sides, not to point fingers, but to help facilitate communication where it might be breaking down, to be witnesses to that communication. And again, not witnesses to say, well, he said that, so she's in the right. No, it's to help facilitate the conversation. And of course, this is where it can get tricky because it's easy to only want to involve others who are going to take our side, right? Easy to want people who are going to back us up. And that's not always helpful. The difference in communication style between me and my best friend, for instance, is that we can talk. We have our own language. She's my best friend, and I've known her forever. We can. It almost always goes smoothly. We rarely argue about stuff. We laugh. We talk. We giggle. And compared to the difference or to the communication style of me and my husband, which, you know, we've been working on for many years, but it's different. It's different than the way I speak to my best friend, right? And we have different things that we talk about, obviously, because we live together and we share a life together and we have to figure things out. And so sometimes it helps to get outside insight. Wow, that's into the other person's way of thinking, since sometimes we might feel like we're from different planes of existence, right? Sometimes I talk to my husband and I think, I have no idea what you're talking about. Your logic is not like my earth logic. But when I talk to someone else and they say, oh, I understand where he's coming from. He meant this. They might explain it in a way that makes me say, oh, you know, I get that now. I completely understand. I just wasn't understanding the way he was communicating with me. So the beginning of today's gospel text begins, if another member of the church sins against you, and then goes on to list the actions that Jesus advises us to take. And this is a gender-inclusive translation, but a more intimate translation is to think of the person who sins against you as your brother or sister, or even a really, really good or your best friend. So the intimacy of this type of relationship brings the need for resolution to an immediacy and a sense of importance that might be lost if you're only thinking of a generic, possibly faceless member of the church. This also focuses Jesus' words on all relationships in many kinds of communities rather than only church relationships. Think about Jesus' words in light of this more intimate relationship. Those of us with siblings and all of us with close relationships know that sooner or later those relationships will include one of the persons involved sinning against another person involved. If we are talking about my brother, then I would point out I would point to the, 99.9% of the days of my childhood as proof of this. And many of the days of my adulthood, because he has the ability to push my buttons like no other person. That man, especially when we were kids, he could bug the snot out of me in 2 seconds flat. But he could also have my back, and I know he loves me. But think about your siblings and how easy sometimes your siblings can just get under your skin, right? And of course, I'm not innocent in that relationship either. I wasn't, because once the button pushing happens, and I was sometimes the one who started the button pushing, let me just say. But once he starts pushing my buttons, and of course, I have to push as many buttons as I possibly can in retaliation, right? Case in point, when I was little, we had a cat. This cat did not like me. My brother knew that this cat did not like me. It was our sister's cat. Every morning, he would get up before I would. Every morning, he would get that cat riled up to the point that once I got out of bed and started walking down the hall, she would come running at me and attack my ankles, biting, scratching, whatever. And so I would run screaming into the bathroom, where I would slam the door every single morning while we had that cat. So then I used to sneak into the bathroom and throw cold water on him while he was in the tub, you know, which led him then to, you get the point, siblings. And I'm sure you have those relationships with someone in your life. Hopefully not as an adult. You're not throwing cold water on someone or making the cat attack them. But sometimes we worked things out on our own. But more frequently, it took some parental intervention to help us work through our differences, which is Jesus's second step in this progression. Of course, it doesn't stop there. Jesus's final piece of advice: treat them like Gentiles and tax collectors. Yes, as a kid, I would have taken this and run with it, because this clearly means that I get to treat my brother badly, right? Jesus said so. Treat him like a Gentile or a tax collector. He set the cat on you, you treat him like a tax collector. And this logic would have worked for about 5 minutes until someone had me look at how Jesus himself treated Gentiles and tax collectors. So what did he do? Well, he included them. He healed them. He spoke with them. He taught them. He shared with them. In other words, he treated them like beloved children of God. Which, shoot, there goes my justification for retaliation, right? What Jesus is talking about in today's gospel reading is community, which is made up of relationships, which are made up of people. And as people tend towards sin, community almost always leads to some kind of conflict. Authentic community is hard to come by. It is hard work, but it's worth it, because when you find it, it's like experiencing a little bit of God's kingdom right here on earth. It's like experiencing a little bit of the way that God handles relationships, of finding a little bit of God right here among us. And Jesus promises that when we gather in this way, with honesty and integrity, even when it's hard, which can be most of the time, amazing things happen, because Jesus is with us right there in our very midst. We are human, and as such, we are far from perfect. And so we often fall into that temptation of sin. We just don't always know how to live together, how to fight together, how to stay together in relationship and in community. But Jesus ends this passage by talking about how he will be present when we are gathered. Notice that he doesn't say he will be present only when we come to complete agreement on whatever is dividing us. Jesus is present, really present, wherever two or three are gathered, not just when two or three are in agreement in his name. Jesus offers a guide to help us handle our sin and its consequences within relationships and community. So the next time you're having communication problems within your community and nothing seems to work, please treat the others in the argument like Jesus treated Gentiles and tax collectors. Because the thing to remember is that Jesus promises us that his presence is real for us when we are gathered in his name. The real presence of God is promised to us in the words we read today and throughout the Gospels. Jesus became incarnate and came to dwell physically among us. And at the end, he told his disciples and us that he would be with us always, no matter what. This, my friends, is good news. This is the good news for we who are members with one another in all types of communities. Jesus' presence is among us, which means that anything can happen because the love of God and all of God's promises are also present among us. Thank you so much for joining me today as we talked about the texts assigned for the 14th Sunday after Pentecost. I hope you will join me again next week when we'll be moving on to the 15th Sunday after Pentecost. And in the meantime, I hope that you have a wonderful week. I hope you stay safe and if you're out of the path of the storms, you help in whatever way you can, even if that's just prayer, which is completely and wonderfully powerful in itself. You can find all of our podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download them on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, etc. You've heard me say it all before. You can follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram. Come and, you know, leave your comments, leave your questions, whatever it is, and I would love to hear from you. Thank you so much for joining me. Join me again next week. In the meantime, please remember that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.